Well, I'd like to sort of finish up this morning by thinking about the fact that the church is called the Bride of Christ, the Bride of Christ. That's a pretty amazing title. You know, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel is referred to as the wife of God. And here in the New Testament, the church is referred to as the Bride of Christ. That is a high honor. A high honor to be referred to as the Bride of Christ. And just as I kind of reflect back, as I have heard people even kind of respond to the criticisms of the church and how perhaps evil it has been, or how kind of they don't like the church, I think, boy, you got to kind of be careful here. You kind of have to be careful because you're talking about the Bride of Christ. That's an important thing to remember. And in many ways, the reference to the church as the Bride of Christ, it is a reflection of Jesus' affection and commitment. His affection for the church and his commitment to the church is a reflection of his love and his commitment. So through all of the centuries, with all the bumps and the bruises, all of the ups and the downs, with all of the various evils that have been a part of the history of the church and all of the flirtations with poor judgment and even his heresy, Jesus has continued to love his bride. So this morning, kind of as a follow-up to our membership class, as well as welcoming these folks into membership, I want to talk about the church. And more specifically, I want to talk about church membership of all things from the Bible. So part of the point that I want to make this morning is that if Jesus loves the church and is committed to the church, then really we also should love the church and we should be committed to the church. Just like God expects couples that are in love, a man and a woman, to express that love in the commitment of marriage and not just sort of live together, but to express that love in a covenant of marriage, really, church membership is one of the commitments. It's not the only commitment, but it is one of the commitments that expresses our love for the Bride of Christ. Now, this is one of those sermons that can be easily misunderstood. First of all, if you're already a member of the church, some of you have only been members for a few minutes, right? But this is not nap time, all right? Just because you are already a member of the church, it's not really sort of nap time. I believe that this message has something to say to each and every one of us, including myself, because we need to reevaluate our commitment to the church. We need to remember and reflect and say, is there some sense in which I need to go deeper in my commitment to the church, my service, my love, or whatever? And also, if you are not yet a member, so if you attend Community Bible Church, but you're not yet a member of Community Bible Church, please don't think I'm sort of taking out my Bible gun and sort of aiming it at you. All right? I would like for you to become a member of our church, if that is the Lord's will. But I am more or less inviting you to think with me about these things and reflect upon them, and then to seek the Lord and His direction. Perhaps all of us need to recommit ourselves in our relationship to the church. The way I want to organize this morning's message is around a series of several questions, and those are listed in your notes. If you want to take that out of your bulletin, that may help you in following along. So, number one, is church membership even in the Bible? Is this idea something that just sort of bubbled up out of necessity, or some might even, with a more cynical view, think, well, this is just a way for people to control people. You know, this is an idea that came from the history of the church, and they found this to be an effective way to control people. Is that what church membership is, or is it indicated in the Bible in any way? If it isn't in the Bible, then I'm just blowing smoke this morning. Right? If it isn't in the Bible, it's just my opinions. And so maybe we could put the question this way. Is church membership as we know it, as we just kind of observed it this morning, Is church membership as we know it, is that in the Bible? And the most honest answer to that question is actually yes and no. Yes and no. So if you are looking for a specific command that says, dear Christian, please go today and join, formally join, the closest church to you, you'll never find that command in the Bible. So there is not a command to officially join a church in the Scriptures. Now, when we think about the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, I mean, that's almost on every page of the Bible. It certainly is in every book of the Bible. Okay, it is a theme, it is a thread that runs everywhere through the Bible. You can't deny that. It is directly taught and it is implied. It's all over the place. However, that's not really true when it comes to church membership. But there are some passages that seem to have the idea of church membership in their background. One person said it this way. They are, you know, a command to join a church or the church is not explicit, but perhaps is implicit in the Scriptures. I might say it this way. Church membership is the most practical way to apply certain passages of the New Testament. And we're going to look at a few of those. So these are going to all be on the screen this morning. You can follow along in your Bible or simply by looking on the screen this morning. So Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. Now, this is part of the history of the early church with the apostles. And so here we go in verse number 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And then a somewhat similar but also different kind of perspective is in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 says this, and when he, and this is referring to Saul, who later became Paul, when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Now, one perspective on these verses is that Paul attempted to just go to church, just sort of show up at the gathering there in Jerusalem. Another perspective, perhaps, on chapter 5 would simply be that some people were afraid to go to church, quote unquote, there on Solomon's portico. That would be one perspective. However, this particular word for join actually was the Greek word for gluing something or cementing something into place. And in this context, it speaks of a strong joining or uniting with these people. And so, again, this is certainly not a command to join the nearest church. However, it speaks of a committed sort of gluing ourselves together for a particular purpose, and that is for the worship of God and the ministry of the gospel. And then there are some passages where to be able to obey them, the best way to be able to obey them is to be a part of, a committed member of, a joined member of a particular congregation. And so this comes from Matthew chapter 18. It's a very familiar passage. We pull it out when someone has sinned against us, right? And we feel compelled to confront them about the ways that they have hurt us. And that happens, right? That just is probably a good parenthesis to put in at this point. Jesus mentions the church twice in his ministry, verbally uses the word church twice. Okay, both of them are recorded in the book of Matthew. And in one of them, he's talking about when church members sin against each other, when brothers and sisters sin against one another. And so look at it with me there in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse number 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And so there we have this mention of the church. And when Jesus says, tell it to the church, okay, sort of in that context, he's you know, talking to some disciples there, and they're thinking, okay, what does that mean? Well, I think they figured it out in the book of Acts when groups of believers started to congregate together. And first in Jerusalem, and then in Antioch, and then in all of these cities around where Paul and others preached the gospel and planted churches. It's that church. It's that church. Okay, and I recognize that we live in different days. I mean, for goodness sakes, DeMott, Indiana is just about as opposite as you can possibly get from one church in Ephesus, and one church in Jerusalem, and one church in Antioch. We're in the Guinness Book of World Records, for crying out loud, for the most churches per capita. And I don't really think that's a good thing, necessarily. But here we are, okay? And let me just tell you this. If there is a need for church discipline, when Jesus says, tell it to the church, he doesn't mean that the elders here go down the road and tell it to the Baptist church or to the Reformed church or to the Assembly of God. He means tell it to this one. Okay, that's what he means. Okay, that's the best application of that passage. We don't have to broadcast it to the whole town. We tell it to the church if there's a need, this church, if there's a need for church discipline. Even more specifically, what we could say is, if we're going to tell it to the church, we're going to tell it, or we're going to express it to the church that that person has been committed to, that that person has joined. And then there's a couple of passages in the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, who are we going to encourage towards love and good works? Who are we going to not neglect to meet together with? Well, the church that we have committed ourselves to. That we have joined ourselves to. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So what leaders are you supposed to follow in the church? Well, the leaders that you have committed yourself to. You know, we can give thanks for the various well-known sort of radio, television pastors that are faithful to the Word of God. We can give thanks to them, but they're not accountable for your soul the way the elders and I are. And so when it comes to that level of leadership and accountability, it's our responsibility to lead and to give an account. It's your responsibility to let us give an account with joy and not with groaning, because you are growing in the Lord. Somebody shared something with me on Friday, and I just couldn't wait to share it with Jenny, of ways that they were growing in the Lord. That's joy in the accountability for the souls of our sheep. And so, who am I accountable for? Who are the elders and I to give an account for their souls? The ones who have joined this church, joined themselves to us. And who is supposed to follow the leadership of the elders of this church? Well, those who have joined themselves to this congregation. That group of believers, that quote-unquote church. To be a church, by the way, and this is just kind of a side note, to be a church, it needs to have kind of a handful of characteristics, and in many ways they're listed in 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, for I believe that 1 and 2 Timothy are written because Paul the Apostle knew that the apostles were going to pass off the scene, and that Timothy in this one situation and Titus in another situation and others in many other situations around the Middle East at the time and Asia Minor at the time and Europe at the time, they were going to have to take over for the apostles. And so they said, this is how to do it. So for a church to be a church, it needs elders, it needs deacons, it needs that leadership, it needs that accountability, it needs to preach the word, perhaps among other things. Now, these very earliest churches may possibly have actually kept lists of who was and was not a member of the church. They obviously knew who was a member and who, if they strayed too far, if they left the faith, they knew who was supposed to be rebuked and who was supposed to be excommunicated from the church. They knew that. So they somehow, either whether it was on a piece of parchment or was just in their minds and hearts, they knew who was supposed to be a part of that church. I know, if we read from the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, we know that they kept lists of qualifying widows. They actually had a list of who the church was supposed to provide for as a widow. And so they had things organized. They may very well have had a membership list as well. They somehow knew who was a member of the church and who was not a member of the church, and those who were kind of checking out the church. They knew the difference. And so, yes, I do think that membership is implied in the New Testament and is the best way to obey certain New Testament passages. Number two, what is the meaning of church membership? What is the meaning of church membership? Well, first of all, church membership should represent a commitment to Christ. It should represent a commitment to Christ. And here's what I mean by that. If you apply for membership at our church, the elders and I, one elder and myself, or two elders, are going to sit down with you, and we're going to ask you, how did you come? Just like I did with each one of these folks in front of you this morning. How did you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? I'm going to ask you perhaps to share with me, can you just very briefly tell me the bullet points of the gospel? What is the good news that saves people from their sins? I'm going to ask you, how has God changed your life since your conversion? And so that just is an expression of your commitment to Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. Now, this next illustration is going to blow your socks off, so just be prepared, okay? You ready for this? When another pastor, this guy, some of you will know this name, Pastor Mark Dever, pastors the Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Occasionally, he's a guest speaker, he's a well-known pastor. I've learned a great deal from him myself. He's sometimes called upon to speak to college students. So it'll be some kind of Christian group, like InterVarsity or something like that. He will speak to a college group, and he will talk to them about church membership. Now, college kids aren't the most committed, sort of demographic in America or really in the world, right? I mean, they're finding out about life, and I know that Caleb's church is like pushing him to become a member, and he's kind of pushed back a little bit on that. That's who he is, and that's what age he is, right? So this isn't the most committed crowd in the world. But he speaks to them, and sometimes he will choose to speak on church membership, and this is what he says. If you are not an official member of the church that you are currently attending, you may very well be going to hell. Which usually gets everybody's attention, right? And they put their phone away, right? And they say, maybe I should listen to this if really I'm going to go to hell for not joining the church. And that's actually not what he means. He doesn't mean that God's going to send you to hell because you didn't join the church. This is what he means. He means that if you join a particular church, the elders of that church should do what I just described. They should sit down with you and say, how did you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you understand the gospel? How has God changed your life? And if you answer by saying, well, I just grew up in a Christian home. Or if you answer by saying, I try to do my best so that God will accept me. Then those elders will preach the gospel to you, and hopefully you will be saved from hell. And so what he is saying is that the examination of the spiritual condition of your heart that should happen as you are becoming a member of the church, that may reveal that, praise God, you're a Christian and have been for many years, or it may reveal that you need salvation. And if you never submit to that examination, you may go skating through your life and not realize that your heart has not been renewed. So that's what he meant. But it does get people's attention. And, of course, the scriptures don't just expect, you know, the congregation to examine those new members and hear their testimony. The scriptures command you to examine yourself whether or not you are in the faith. And so if nothing else from this sermon this morning, this is an exhortation for all of us to examine ourselves whether or not we are in the faith. Do I trust in myself or do I trust in Jesus for my salvation? So, church membership should represent a commitment to Christ. Church membership should also represent a commitment to covenant. A commitment to covenant. I kind of refer to church membership as the covenant and accountability of church membership. That's the way I mentally outline what church membership should mean. It is a covenant of doing spiritual life together. It is a covenant of trying to obey the one another's of the New Testament. Love one another. Stir one another up to love and good works, which we read earlier. Serve one another. Encourage one another. Meet together. Don't assemble together. It's a commitment, a covenant that this is the group of people that God has led me to, and they have been a spiritual blessing to me, and I want to be a spiritual blessing to them, and we want to obey the one another's of the New Testament together. So we could kind of outline those one another's as we want to worship together, pursue Christian growth together, strive for spiritual health together, in the body of Christ, and advance the gospel together. And by the way, on the back side of your notes is a copy of Community Bible Church's Church Covenant, and that's the outline of the covenant. Worship, pursue Christian growth together, spiritual health together, and advance the gospel together. If that covenant sort of rings in your heart, some of you have been members for a long time, you need to be reminded of that covenant. And if you've never made that membership commitment, but that covenant kind of rings in your heart, then this is probably where you belong. The scriptures are obviously clear. We can't follow Christ alone. So church membership represents that covenant to follow Christ together. And then a church membership, what else should it represent? It should represent accountability, a commitment to accountability together. Joshua Harris is kind of at one point was a much more famous author because he wrote this book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, right? Some of you guys heard of that maybe almost 20 years ago, I think, but nevertheless. He's maybe less well known now because that fame has faded, but he also wrote a book, Stop Dating the Church. Stop Dating the Church, which I highly recommend, actually. And in it, he lists 10 questions that you should ask, is this the right church for me? And you would ask these 10 questions to decide whether or not it's the right church. And the number 9 is this church willing to kick me out? Is this church willing to kick me out? In other words, if I fall into drastic, scandalous sin, will this church confront me, love me, be concerned for me, pray for me, pursue me, and eventually kick me out if I don't repent? Now, this is about the least popular part of the message, but nevertheless, there is a covenant of accountability that goes with church membership, and we need to recognize that and expect it, and we should actually rejoice in it, that there are fences that go with this thing of church membership that should be attractive to us, that they'll care enough about the condition of my soul to come after me when I fall into sin. Number 3. Another important question is what are some misperceptions or wrong attitudes regarding church membership? Let me just kind of go through these very quickly. I would say one false idea would be the divorce fallacy. The divorce fallacy. And here's what I mean by that. You know, we sometimes can use marriage kind of language and even commitment kind of language when we talk about church membership or other relationships. And we might kind of say something like, I'm married to that church almost, and that might not be a good thing, right? That's a pretty deep level of commitment. But what I'm trying to communicate is that although church membership is a commitment, a serious commitment that should not be lightly changed, you don't need a legal divorce to leave a church, okay? God moves you to a new vicinity, if God moves you to a different city, join another faithful, godly, Bible-preaching church in that city. You know, you can leave your membership here and go somewhere else. If a church becomes unfaithful to the Word of God and the gospel, becomes doctrinally unfaithful, leave it. Move on. If you are divided from that church over an important matter or doctrine, not the color of the carpet, not the time of the service, not the style of the music, okay? If you are divided from a church over a serious matter, it's okay to leave and find another church. Don't be a church shopper, don't be a church hopper, but don't stay in a church where your spirit is just tense all the time and you are a dividing presence. And you're painful. He causes you pain. You cause pain to other people. Don't stay. Go somewhere where your heart can be at rest. And then the other sort of fallacy might be what I would call the engagement syndrome. The engagement syndrome. When I was a teenager, our pastor talked about one of his aunts, and she was engaged to the same man for 20 years and still not married. Okay? And so there was something about that quasi-committed relationship, but they never tied the knot. They liked the committed relationship, but they never tied the knot. And sometimes folks come here for umpteen years, literally, and don't join. I think it's a serious commitment. You should not take it lightly. But nevertheless, after some period of time, I want to encourage you to quote-unquote tie the knot of membership here at Community Bible Church, or wherever God leads you to worship. Let me move a little more quickly through the final three questions. Number four, how do you become a member of Community Bible Church? Well, I encourage people to attend the next membership class, which at least ordinarily would probably be this fall. Attend the membership class. Fill out one of the applications that goes with the booklet. Out on the leadership table, there's a membership information booklet. Then you end up meeting with a couple of elders, whether that's myself and one other or two elders besides myself, sharing your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then just as you have observed this morning and in other times, sharing your testimony with the church and the members affirming you in membership. So that's how you become a member, at least at this church. Should you become a member of Community Bible Church? Should you become a member? Well, the answer is perhaps both yes and no. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then no, you should not become a member of Community Bible Church. If you're going to be divisive, no, you shouldn't become a member of Community Bible Church. If you sort of look at yourself as the next big thing at Community Bible Church, I'm the one they've been waiting for to sort of set this church straight. No, please don't join Community Bible Church. If you don't agree with the basics of our Community Bible Church doctrinal statement, then no, you should not become a member. But if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been blessed by the preaching and teaching of this church, if you feel a spiritual home here, if you receive ministry from the body of Christ here, then absolutely you should join this church. If you basically agree with the doctrinal statement, the direction that the church is going, then absolutely, sure. We would love to welcome you into the community of believers here as an official member. And here's one more reason, and perhaps this is my favorite one because of my personality. Our society is afraid of commitment. Our society is afraid of commitment. People don't get married anymore because they're afraid of commitment and it hurts their tax write-offs. So therefore, they just live together. You know, you don't have to keep your contracts unless your opponent takes you to court. So why in the world would people add an extra commitment to their lives, a commitment that could be, require things of you and could be difficult at times? Well, join a church just to rebel against the non-committed culture of our society, the radical individualism of our society. Now, number six, if you are already a member of Community Bible Church or your home church, should you take the covenant and accountability of church membership more seriously? Do you look at membership as sort of a club? Do you treat it lightly? Do you really love others? Do you truly serve others? When's the last time? We could all ask ourselves this question. When is the last time that we stirred up someone to love and good works in the context of this congregation? How do we need to go deeper into the covenant of church membership? Well, I started off this morning talking about Christ's love for the church, His bride. Wow, what a level of commitment Christ has made to the church. Last year, I spent a fair bit of our Sunday mornings preaching about love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about Christian love. And just listen to me carefully. That chapter was originally written in the context of a local church with members and non-members, and some of those members needed to be excommunicated if you read the whole book. So he is saying, in that context of 1 Corinthians, he is saying that all of this church stuff needs to be done in love. And he's also saying this, the context for this love, this the beautiful, poetic, love is patient, love is kind. The context for that is right here. These people. The church. And part of that love is commitment. Part of that love is commitment. So may we be committed. May we be spiritually committed and emotionally committed. And yes, as the Lord leads and when the Lord leads, may we even be formally committed to one another in this thing that we call the covenant and accountability of church membership. So thank you for considering that with me this morning. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I can say, and I believe that all of these folks here can say, we love the church. Though there may have been pains in the past, and though there will be difficulties in the future, the church is dear to our hearts. And may it be, O Lord, that we would live out the covenant and accountability of church membership with one another in a faithful and godly way. May it be, dear Lord, that you would deepen and expand our church membership, our understanding of membership, and the scope of our membership as well. And Lord, may it be that we would, with the song that we're about to sing and with Christ, may we love the church together and love one another in it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.